Hold myself to a chord, waiting for the day that you come back to me. You know that I don't give about appearances. Been hearing things about you. Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. We got our 53-man rosters that we're doing today. We do this every offseason. We are going through position by position, and we're making cuts. We're doing what we want, not necessary predictions. Justin, how are you?
Yes, not predictions, preference. Now, I think it says predictions in the title, but the reason why it says that in the title, because that's like what normal titles are. But the in all actuality, these are our preferences. Now, Bobby Skinner, I'm doing fine. I'm a little tired. You know, we're recording late at night because my job was funky and, you know, we got to watch our Nets.
Yeah, we watch the Nets.
You have Nets thoughts on your brain. So I just want to kick it to you and let you roll to start off the show. Whatever you want to say, if you want to save it for later, I'm just going to let you roll right now.
I just want to say that we're gonna win the championship. Like that's essentially like I'm going into this Bucks series. I was, you know, it was our first real test, and I was like, let's see how this looks. And now it's like, oh yeah, we're good. There's no need to be nervous. Which, by the way, I made it official. I'm coming to New York for the NBA Finals.
I'm excited for this.
Can now, I stay at your house?
Well, first of all, I have an apartment.
Can I stay at your apartment?
Second of all, we would need a blow-up mattress. I do not think you are fitting on our couches.
My man, where there's a will, there's a way. And if that will is to spend less, you know, $200 less a night, I'll sleep on a couch.
I think we have a blow-up mattress. I can text, I could text my boss right now and ask her. So yeah, I mean, I think you would be more than welcome to stay with us.
We'll see. The hotels are nice, but they're really expensive right now. But I think if I could get a hotel for like $100 a night, I'll do it. I don't care.
I mean, how long are you planning on staying?
Possibly 3 nights, depending on how.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to the Nets finals games. You know,
so you are going to the game though, like, because that was something that was up.
If
in the
I
air,
can get
it's
a
very
ticket,
expensive.
So they're going to play 2 games in a row, whether it's game 1 and 2 or game 3 and 4. If I can get a ticket for less than $300, I'll probably go. I was looking at them yesterday, and they're at $900.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that's just because, you know, they're not actually in the finals quite yet. So, if I can get it for $300, I'll go. If not, we'll just all go outside and watch it outside the arena, which is a fun atmosphere. I remember doing, you know, I'm not an Orlando Magic fan, but when they're in the finals, we would go out, you know, we would go hang out outside the arena for those games, and they pretty electric atmosphere.
Breaking news, Justin's apartment does have an air mattress.
Very nice. You know, I might just get a hotel.
Nate, so you got me all excited.
We'll see.
Thinking that we were going to spend time together.
Maybe,
we were going to do
some other. Well, depends. Are you going to drive me around?
Yeah, I mean, if you're staying with me, yeah, we would go out to eat. We would do co-host bonding. But now that I'm saying this, this is making you want to get a hotel even more.
Well, we'll see.
Yes.
I kind of want to stay in New York, not New Jersey. Be next to the office.
Yeah, you media snob. You want to stay in New York?
New York. Well, you know, you gotta feel the Brooklyn love.
Hair's looking extra good today. Can I just get that out of the way? Then we'll get down to business.
Thank you. I'm just very excited for the Nets right now.
You know what I'm excited for?
The Giants?
We got a surprise this week.
What was that?
Nick Gates was wearing one of our shirts.
Oh, yeah, before we get to the 53. So, they had OTAs. Really, really no news came out of OTAs besides, you know, Golladay was there. So, you get the clips of Jones and Golladay, which was cool. But no, like, no talking points. Like, you know, the OTAs from a couple weeks ago, like, we had some real talking points coming out of it. You know, Carter Coughlin. Like, there was some new stuff. The O-line alignment. Nothing much in this. We'll get some stuff out of minicamp. But what we did get is Nick Gates wearing our T-shirt, our Hog Molly shirts. And his press conference. I was so hyped for that. So I go to watch the interview, and he had a good quote, like, I don't have a life. I you know, football is
like
my life.
Like, football's my life.
So
yeah.
I, like, you know, I was refreshing, looking, so I could clip that. And I see it, and it's got his shirt down. I was like, is that one? Is that the Hog Molly shirt? You know, and then after the first question, it's not, like, the logo's not on the shirt. He stands up, and he, like, readjusts himself above where you can see it. And I was like, that's the freaking Hog Molly shirt. So I was, that was pretty exciting. And I hit him up, and I was like, dude, that's, I was like, you're the man. I was like, now we just got to get Judge or Graham to wear the Shake and Bake shirts.
Yeah. That was not planned, by the way. That was not planned on our part. I mean, I know we, you know, Nick Gates might have we might have sent some Hog Molly shirts to him, but that was not planned of like, hey, you're going to wear it on this day. So that was kind of surprising, and it was kind of nice. An unintentional mistake, not a mistake, unintentional act by me by wearing the Hog Molly shirt when I got out of the shower when I got home from work today. So
that's a cool, you know, it's just, it was a cool moment for us, you
yeah.
know? And I think all the listeners who are like the third co-host of the show, it was a cool moment. It's, you know, we're still, as we grow, it's like those little things are pretty cool. Like, look,
it's crazy that, you know, the Talking Giants versus the World tweet, blah, blah, blah. I think that's a bigger deal. But in terms of our diehard listeners, I think the fact that they saw him wear the shirt, and a lot of the shirts that people have, by the way, you know, go in our description, you know, if you're watching on the YouTube, I'll even throw it in the description of the podcast app. I don't do that. So go in the description wherever you want to look at the if you want to look at the shop. But seeing, like, for our diehards, seeing Nick Gates in that shirt, I think meant more in terms of, like, oh, Nick Gates is Talking Giants versus the World, more than him actually tweeting that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we got, who's the next player to wear something for us?
We've been talking about how we want to get buddy with Will Hernandez, because he's just like I think he's the guy that would catch our vibe.
Almost right. So
I really want Leonard Williams. I want to make a Leonard Williams shirt without getting copyright. That's a challenge for me.
We should make a lot more shirts.
We should.
You know what? We should have cartoons of our own faces. Everybody else in the company has them. We need them too.
Make me look a little skinnier. You know what I'm saying?
And, we'll do, like, me with a buzz cut or something. All right. Do you want to just get right into the 53-man thing? I mean,
yeah, we've messed around for about, like, 8 minutes, 7 minutes. So, yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, we're going to go through. We're going to do our what we want, not necessarily our predictions, but, like, if we were the coaches, what we would do. Then we'll do our last four in, last four out. And then we'll talk about what actually is the predictions, you know. Like, we're going to see, you know, what happens and talk about guys that might be the, you know, the unexpected cuts. So let's go through it position by position. Quarterback, do you have more than two?
No. But this is my early prediction to our preference, to both of our preferences. I think we're very much, this is my prediction to our preferences. I think we're very much going to be like the same. And I think I'm going to hate that.
So we both got Jones and Glennon, right? QB is the
yes.
QB.
Do you want to give like big picture thoughts about like what how like the exercise of going through this before we actually give our actual preferences?
What do you mean?
Like here. So here's my big picture thoughts, like completing this exercise before we actually give the results of the exercise. I thought it was going to be a lot harder. Where compared to years past, where I'm doing maybe a lot of research about like who's a bottom of the barrel guy who can be the sixth defensive lineman or the sixth cornerback or the fifth wide receiver, right? Like last year, we actually had to do some thinking in terms of who would our preference be for wide receiver five. I don't really think there's that research that's happening. Maybe besides offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and not even edge rusher. I think those are the two spots that are really, we're only doing like research in terms of maybe who do we want our preference to be. So this roster, basically, my overall big picture, this roster is very much set up where the names that are kind of popular, like we already know those names, and that goes from QB1 to honestly like offensive lineman 8. Like we know these names, we're familiar with these names, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of like my big picture thoughts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot more predictable this year. I mean,
yes,
when you gain depth where it's like, it's not only is this guy our fifth wide receiver or our fifth, it's like, this guy's going to compete, you know, like he's going to be getting, you know, like he's going to be competing to get reps in the game, not competing just to make the roster, you know. So, QB, we both have Jones and Glennon.
Yeah.
Are you opposed to the three QB rosters? Like, Pat Shurmur was a three QB guy. Last year, they had, with the new practice squad elevation, and by the way, it's still 53-man rosters. I know there's this myth that it's 55. It's not. You'll have 55 guys on any given week, but there's 53 people who are part of the active roster throughout the season. The other two are practice squad players that you can protect or call up for that week. So are you against a third QB? I'm pretty strongly like, you know, I don't want third QB on the 53. Like, make that guy a practice squad player. Clayton Thorson, let him be on the practice squad.
Yeah, in the past, it used to be like, you know, oh, Alex Tanny's going to be around. I'm mentally preparing myself for there to be three QBs. This year, because of, you look at the rest of the roster pretty much up and down, and there are going to be some tough decisions that are going to be made, that would really stink if a player that we kind of maybe sort of believe in is cut because there's a third quarterback. So usually I'm like kind of indifferent, but I prefer not to. This year, I'm adamantly, give me two QBs and only two QBs. I'm pretty adamant about
it. I think they will. All right, running back. We both have Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker as running back one and two. Those are the obvious ones. Yeah. Who is your running back three?
Corey Clement.
I was hoping we might disagree on this one. We agree. The other ones that are, you know, you got Tyquell Armstead, Gary
Reichwell. Reichwell Armstead.
Reichwell. I knew I screwed that up.
I was close with him, by the way. I was close with him. You know, he had some, highlight-worthy plays in Jacksonville. He's kind of a receiver. The main difference was the special team snaps for me. So.
And Clement, he's done it. He's proven it. He's kind of replaces Deion Lewis, which, by the way, I don't think Deion Lewis signed with anybody.
No.
I do think Deion Lewis is a free agent.
Golden Tate, same thing.
I'm surprised they didn't bring back Deion Lewis, to be honest, you know, because they use him as a receiving back. And being, I probably would, if you asked me as just like a receiver, what have you done for me lately, I'd probably take Lewis over him. And they did use, as much as people would bother people, they did use Lewis as a kick returner. But I'm going Corey Clement. I do hate to cut a draft pick. I do. Like, I'm not a fan of cut. I like to keep the draft picks on the roster. But I kept the other five. The other five, spoiler alert, are on the roster. So they cut. Last year they cut Chris Williamson. And everyone else made the 53. Even TJ Brunson made the 53.
Yep.
So last year they cut 1 out of 10. This year I'm cutting 1 out of 6.
Yep.
Fullback, Elijah Penny or Colin Gillespie?
Elijah Penny for the running back, fullback versatility. And also, Elijah Penny was just, overall, he was pretty good last year.
Yeah, Penny, I wasn't a Penny fan. I was a very much like, go get a true blue fullback, and which I still would be a fan of. But Penny played well as that fullback. And, you know, like I said, he has that running back versatility. And if you need him in a pinch, you know, he was better than Jonathan Hillman when, you know, they both were playing running back versus the Patriots in 2019. So I'm sticking with Elijah Penny. I love Colin Gillespie. He seems like a cool dude. It would be fun if he made it. But Elijah Penny does everything. He plays special teams. Elijah Penny is my fullback. So no disagreement so far. At a position running back where there could have been some disagreements.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How many wide receivers do you have?
5. I wanted to go 6, but I do have 5.
Okay. Now, here's where we're going to have a little bit of difference. Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney are 4 that are guaranteed.
Yes.
Who did you keep off, Dante Pettis or John Ross?
I kept off Dante Pettis. Now, and I have kind of a good explanation.
I think I'd rather keep Dante Pettis over. I got both of them, by the way. I have Dante Pettis and John Ross.
You have 6 wide receivers.
I have 6 wide receivers. I would keep Pettis over Ross.
Now, even though this is our preference, and like Bobby and I, we kind of loosely care about special teams, I tried to make this somewhat realistic where I did try to look at special team snaps for like my fifth string, like my bottom of the barrel list.
You have to have a coach's mind when you're doing this, not just like a fantasy football mind.
So I try to, when considering whether I was going to have 5 wide receivers or 6 wide receivers, we'll get to the Dante Pettis versus John Ross thing to begin with. But I looked at the special team snaps breakdown of our wide receivers last year, Austin Maxx, CJ Board included. they didn't really take a lot of special team snaps, which kind of surprised me. I thought that those guys, keeping those guys around for a decent chunk of the year, you know, CJ Board, you know, saw a decent amount of games. I thought that they would receive special team snaps. They did not. So that's why I decided to keep five. You know, if we were going to have like a wide receiver and carry six, and then one guy can be a special teams guy, then maybe we have one less offensive lineman. Maybe we have one less interior defensive lineman. I would have gone that route. But the Giants last year, their precedent showed that they didn't. So let's just carry five. And I simply prefer John Ross over Dante Pettis because I think there's more upside there. I think that there is more boom potential of John Ross possibly being good and being there, especially if one of our other wide receivers goes down and then John Ross's snap share goes up, then Dante Pettis being good. But Dante Pettis, I think, is more of a safe option.
Yeah, Ross is very boom or bust, where it's like there's nobody in the league who has his type of speed, but I don't think there's anybody in the league who has the drop issues that John Ross has either. Like,
yeah.
He makes Evan Ingram look like a saint with, you know, he makes him look like Kyle Rudolph. And I have a lot of hope for John Ross and I'm excited for him, but there is a reason why it didn't work out in Cincinnati, where, you know, if there's any franchise where, you know, you can go under the radar a little bit and you're not killed by pressure, it would be Cincinnati. But I'm keeping both of them, so I'm not cutting one of them like you. So I'm going six wide receivers.
And to be fair,
and Dante Pettis looked pretty good at the end of last season, by the way.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he had a really, really nice catch against Week 17 in Dallas. To be fair, you know, spoiler alert, Dante Pettis was one of my last four out. So he was close.
Okay. All right, tight end. Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. Yep. You're keeping three or four tight ends?
I'm keeping four.
Is Caden Smith on there?
Well, the other two obvious ones are on there for me. I did not have Kelvin Benjamin as a tight end.
You know what? I went with Kelvin Benjamin, though.
No.
I'm serious, though. Like, think about it. What use is keeping our... Like, do we really value doing three tight end sets with Levine, Toy Lolo, Caden Smith, and Kyle Rudolph? Like, do we really value that? Like, does Levine... Like, think about it right now. You know, you're playing, you know, we're playing Dallas. Like, who do you think can make a more positive impact in that game? Kelvin Benjamin or Levine Toy Lolo? You know?
No, you're right. And we've talked about it before. But as of right now, Kelvin Benjamin is listed as a wide receiver. And frankly, Bobby, you would like list him on the depth chart as a tight end, but he would never be taking snaps with his hand in the ground.
I agree, but that's why he's the fourth tight end. If I was keeping only three tight ends, if we never signed Kyle Rudolph, it would be Levine Toy Lolo over Kelvin Benjamin. It's like Levine Toy Lolo, he's a good third tight end to have. But, I mean, one, like, most teams don't carry a fourth tight end. I mean, the Giants didn't for the majority of last year, and, you know, after they cut Eric Tomlinson. So, if I'm going to keep a fourth tight end, I'm going to take a chance on a guy like Kelvin Benjamin and see if he can still just be that contested catch guy. Where Levine Toy Lolo adds nothing to the receiving game. He's a good blocker, but again, you have Caden Smith and Kyle Rudolph on this team. If we never signed Kyle Rudolph, it would be Levine Toy Lolo. I mean, I was, you know, when people were losing their mind when they restructured him, I was like, no, this is smart. You know, they use him a lot. He's a good third tight end. But when they added Kyle Rudolph, I don't have a ton of use for Toy Lolo. Although, yeah. I will predict, my prediction would be Toy Lolo over Kelvin Benjamin, but yeah. What I would want would be Benjamin over.
Yeah, I just think Kelvin Benjamin's role would just, I see what you mean, and I think that's like so fun, like kind of sign me up for it, but it's also just super niche. That's such a super niche.
But isn't fourth tight end niche in itself already?
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm seeing you, but I'm also, again, I'm trying to, this is a preference, but also I'm trying to use kind of like a smart brain at the same time, being like, I don't think the Giants would keep Kelvin Benjamin around just for that. And also, I wouldn't either. I would not do that either, just for that one specific kind of play. Because also, it's a telltale sign whenever he's out there in the red zone. It's like, oh, this guy is out here for one reason only. That's to just go up and catch a football.
Are we both on the Kyle Rudolph tight end one train?
I don't know. I think, let's say,
I really think they're going to split snaps like him and Irv Smith did this past year.
Yeah, I would be for that. Here's the thing. I'm not for tight end one, tight end two. I'm not down to put the designation on it because I really do want them to split the snaps. I have been asking, you know, Bobby, I've been asking this since the 2020 regular season when I wrote that blog after that Eagles game of, you know, dramatically decreasing the snaps of Evan Engram, because Evan Engram can be very, very good in spurts. He's not good when you rely on him when he's getting over 100 targets, 90 targets. That's not, I don't think that's how he can be a productive player in the NFL. So I think having Kyle Rudolph there and them splitting the snaps, well, I want to save that for like a PPP in terms of our projections of snap share and how often these guys play and stuff like that. But yes, I would sharing tight end one is what I would like kind of say.
Offensive tackle, Thomas Parrott Solder. Do you have a fourth?
Thomas Parrott Solder, no. No.
Guard, Will Hernandez, Shane Lemieux. Now you've got Zach Fulton behind him, you got Kyle Murphy, and you got Chad Slade. I went Fulton, and I'm keeping Murphy as well.
Same here.
So I'm going to end up with 9 offensive linemen.
Same here.
Okay, so we're both doing this. I really think Kyle Murphy is my most anticipated player to watch in preseason. Like, I'm so happy we have a preseason because I get to watch Kyle Murphy. I really think that guy can be something, but it's just we haven't seen any type of any NFL action yet. They added him to the 53-man roster, late in the year. I don't think they just did that for no reason. Now, it does hurt my heart to let Chad Slade go because he's one of the guys. They love him. He's a glue guy on that offensive line. And Kenny Wiggins is on this team too, and he's got some good pro experience. You know, he's started a handful of games in the NFL. But I'm not going to keep more than 4 guards. So I'm keeping those 4. Who would you keep, Chad Slade or Kenny Wiggins, if you were to keep them?
I mean, I would keep Slade just because it's more fun. I mean, I frankly have never watched any of them.
Chad Slade, remember they played Chad Slade in a game this year. Remember they were rotating against Washington? Remember they put Chad Slade in? They had Chad Slade and Matt Parrott left tackle versus Washington, and then they got down to the goal line and they put Andrew Thomas and Shane Lemieux in mid-series. They're like, all right, we're punching this in. We need these two in there.
So I found this stat that you tweeted out 3 days ago. I don't know if you said it exactly on the podcast, but you referenced it. But here's the exact stat. This is from Bobby Skinner. Giants projected starting offensive line has combined 83 career starts in the NFL. Their backups have a combined 297 career starts. That's bizarre.
It's I've said this take over and over this offseason, so I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but it's a weird that is a weird dynamic of having all of that experience on the bench and all of this youth in the starting lineup. I mean, it's really young. Thomas has essentially 16 starts, but Parrott got the one versus Washington, so those, you know, 15 and 1 right there. Shane Lemieux has 9? Yeah. Shane Lemieux has 9 starts. Nick Gates has 18 or 19. And then Will Hernandez has the bulk of them with the 2.5 seasons.
Kyle Murphy was one of my last 4 guys in.
All right. Well, let's save last 4 in for last 4 in.
Okay.
You're spoiled.
We have one more offensive lineman that we have not shared who that is. Well, who is that for you?
We have center. We have Nick Gates. Yes. Do you have a backup center?
I do have a backup center.
Jonathan Harrison?
Yes, and it was tight between somebody else. But again, just going off of experience and just what we've seen pro reps, and we've seen what Jonathan Harrison is.
Yeah, Jonathan Harrison, I'm pretty confident, will make the team as the backup center. He's started a lot of games at center in the NFL. So that's our offense. So on offense, we have 1, 2. I have 1, 2, 6... 12, 16, 19, 23, 25. I have 25 players. You have 24 players because you have the one less wide receiver. And I'm trying to get a ton of money because DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. We're the top-rated Giants podcast. They're the top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that's still in contention. So the Bucks aren't. Like, you can't bet on the Bucks because they're done.
Wow.
Bet $1. If that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. I mean, bet on the Nets. Come on, guys. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. By the way, did you see USA beat Mexico?
I heard the Spanish call on that, and it was phenomenal.
I have a lot of Mexican friends, and I remember the last time they played in the Copa de America. And I remember just talking trash the whole time. So, but with COVID, I haven't been around them as much, so I need to call him tomorrow and trash talk. So, Esteban Juan, I'm coming for you to try. I'm gonna make you feel bad, because they love soccer. Download the top rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code JohnBoy for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Wager paid out on site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 100-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Let's get to the defense.
Yeah. Defense.
Let's start with the secondary.
Oh, we're going to reverse it.
I have it listed, but it's like, you know, edge and D-line is where, edge is where it gets, you know what, let's start with D-line. That's the way I have it in order.
Yeah, more captivating conversation.
Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Danny Shelton.
Yes.
BJ Hill.
Yes.
Who is your fifth?
Well, I have six.
Austin Johnson is one of them?
Yes.
Are you, like me, keeping that RJ McIntosh hype train going?
No, I am ending the RJ McIntosh hype train, and I'm going to the Raymond Johnson hype train.
But he can make the practice squad.
I know, but it's tough to let RJ McIntosh go. He's not one of my last four out or last four in, blah blah blah. But I'm loving Raymond Johnson, man. He's the new toy for me. Undrafted free agent, so give him to me. He's making my roster.
All right, let me give you some evidence here, kid.
Give me some evidence. Yeah, you're going to tell me RJ McIntosh has played 17 snaps, but he somehow has 22 sacks within those 17 snaps. That's what you're going to tell me right now. I know you.
I'm just going to tell you. If I could find the freaking tweet.
Yeah, you're going to Twitter advanced search, and you're going to look up your
own RJ McIntosh. In 2019, RJ McIntosh had 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 QB hits on only 114 snaps. For reference, Dalvin Thomason had 596 snaps. Always seen some hidden talent in McIntosh, going back to him playing Quentin Nelson at Miami versus Notre Dame. Good production for the fifth defensive tackle. I can't give up on RJ McIntosh. I tried to. I literally didn't put him on the list. And then I went back. I was like, I have to get RJ McIntosh on this roster. Who am I cutting? Who am I cutting? And I cut somebody from the edge group to keep RJ McIntosh. There's got to be a reason they kept him on the active roster last year, and he was active. So he was on the game day active roster. He 0 days, like never dressed out in pads for a game, but he was on the 53-man roster all year.
Yeah, healthy scratch. Yeah,
he was a healthy scratch all year on the roster. Like, I get that maybe that now that position was healthy, so. But I like RJ McIntosh. I do. And I think I don't think there's a worse team in the NFL for RJ McIntosh to be on.
No, it stinks.
Because we have all these defensive tackles. And you know what? I almost cut Austin Johnson. And maybe, you know what? Coaching change. This is why this stuff happens last minute.
Do, 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 do. Wrong sound.
I am cutting Austin Johnson.
Wow.
And I am adding a player back into the edge group. Now, at this time last year, I was very much clear-cut RJ McIntosh over Austin Johnson. Okay. Now, but did Austin Johnson do anything for me to be like, nope. No, he was average, I guess, but he never really made an impact. You know, like he recovered a fumble. Like I think he caused a fumble versus the Rams, but like Austin Johnson never really made a huge impact. He did all right. It's like, oh, well, he's going to play nose tackle. I think Danny Shelton's going to be awesome at nose tackle. And he's not going to, like, we don't have to run a nose tackle 80% of the game. You can play Danny Shelton 50, 55% of the snaps, and those be your nose tackle reps for a game.
Yeah, the only thing is that then he's your only nose tackle. And then, you know, you're at a point where...
But Dex... Damn it. All right, I'm keeping Austin Johnson. And that's the thing. You're right. You're right. I have to think about this as a coach and not fantasy football. Austin Johnson is
I could see where your preference lies, but, you know, in order to fit our theory, Bobby, of... And this is my opinion. In order to fit our theory of, hey, we can have our linebackers play back a little bit... So they can like kind of go back for the pass and we can have our defensive linemen take care of everything up front. Having more than one nose tackle option, you know, people presume that Dexter Lawrence can do it and it's like, why not? But he hasn't done it and I'm not a film buff, so I don't know if he can. But having more than one nose tackle option, I think makes the most sense if we want to continue having this approach of playing Blake Martinez, playing Tay Crowder back. Then they can come up and make plays. But even if Austin Johnson's a little overpaid, I'm okay with it.
I'm going to make a special team decision.
Okay.
And I hate doing this. Like, I hate myself right now. But if I'm just thinking about this as a coach, I don't need a sixth guy in this defensive line group. RJ McIntosh is getting cut.
Wow.
It's...
I'm sorry.
I have to keep the tackle, and I value BJ Hill more than I do RJ McIntosh.
Yeah.
If I'm the coach for 31 other teams, I have RJ McIntosh on my roster. This is the one team it doesn't happen though. But I have to keep a certain player, which we'll talk about in the next group on for special teams. I really hate myself for this. I do.
Yeah, you're right.
I am all right, but it sucks, dude. It sucks. So let me change my first four out, first four in. Okay. The edge group.
Yep.
The person that I am keeping and cutting RJ McIntosh for is Cam Brown. He plays too many special team snaps. He is a good, he is a special teams guy. He's a, you know, a six round draft pick. They like him. You know, they want to develop him. He played even a little bit. I mean, he played more defensive reps than, you know, RJ McIntosh did in 2020. So I'm keeping Cam Brown. And cutting RJ McIntosh. The other group is at the edge. Like last year, I am keeping six edge players. Lorenzo Carter, Aziz Ojulari, O'Shane Zimenez, Ellerson Smith, Efedio Nenegbo, and Cam Brown.
You just said you're cutting Cam Brown.
No, I'm keeping Cam Brown. I'm cutting RJ McIntosh to keep Cam Brown.
Oh, all right. Then we have the exact same six edge spots. However... There's an interesting conversation that comes with the edge group, which I will get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
At the end.
I know where that's going. All right, inside linebacker. Blake Martinez. Tay Crowder, Reggie Ragland. We both have those two?
We both have those three, yes.
Are those three? Carter Coughlin, he's both our fourth, right?
Yes, he is.
He's a good talent. It's a good way to keep him at a spot where there's no... You know, there's no person of strength there. You know, Devontae Downs obviously got run at that spot last year. I know we did a little Cale Garrett segment, but I would rather keep Cale Garrett over Coughlin. TJ Brunson is there too, but I'm just not a TJ Brunson fan at all.
Yeah.
And I think the Giants showed that they weren't really a fan of his at all either because they didn't play him at a spot where Devontae Downs did get a ton of reps, you know. There was Tay Crowder got hurt. There was all the reason for TJ Brunson to get reps, and he never did. I think he played like two reps in all year on defense, and they're third down pass rushing reps.
Something that I did think about was cutting Cam Brown, Carter Coughlin at edge, and Cale Garrett at interior linebacker four. That is something I did think about.
Yeah, I think it's a position they could keep five players. Like, I don't think that's crazy. I think a lot of teams do. But I'm sticking with four at that spot. Blake Martinez, yeah, I mean, he's not coming off the field. You got two guys in Tay Crowder, and Reggie Ragman, and then that fourth guy is just like. Now I say it every year. It's a talking point that I say every year. If you start the season as the fourth inside linebacker, you're going to get important reps. It happens every single year.
I mean, what if they carry five interior linebackers, one of them being quote unquote Carter Coughlin? It doesn't harm you to cut. What, you would replace Raymond Johnson with the fifth interior linebacker, and odds are that fifth interior linebacker would be more valuable than my sixth interior defensive lineman.
Yeah. Raymond Johnson making the roster would simply being like, we don't want to take a chance on losing this guy. Yeah. Which, by the way, did you see the undrafted free agent money was in the order that we liked those players? Raymond Johnson 1, Brett Heggie 2, and Jake Burton 3.
There you go.
So the order cool. how we thought those players were good was the order they paid them, which is cool. All right, cornerback. We're closing down on the roster. James Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, Darnay Holmes, Aaron Robinson. How many more corners do you have after those four?
Just two.
Isaac Yiadom and Rodarius Williams.
Yes. However, Rodarius Williams can easily be replaced with like anybody functional.
I like Rodarius though. Like I think I really like that pick. I think he was good value. I think he slipped a little bit because he is, you know, a little older. But I like Rodarius. I was going to make sure I found a way to keep him on the roster. He can play, you know, those backup corners can play special teams. Isaac Yiadom, well, certainly wasn't good. I think for the weakest link on a team on a defense that was a ninth ranked defense, I think he held his own and he did have some good moments. You know, Isaac Yiadom was not Sam Beal. 2019, was not Grant Haley 2019, he was not Corey Ballantyne 2019, like he was a step above those guys, so and that's after getting benched and then getting put back in there after Ryan Lewis got burnt a couple times, so keeping six corners. Safety: Jabril Peppers, Logan Ryan, Xavier McKinney, and Julian Love.
Yes, four.
Special teams: Graham Gano, Riley Dixon, Casey Kreider. Are you going Carson Tinker at long snapper? Are you
I'm a Casey Kreider stan.
Yeah, we're big Casey Kreider fans around here. All right, so that's a 53-man roster right there. So my last four in were Kelvin Benjamin, Cam Brown, he barely made it in. And then I had Kyle Murphy and Zach Fulton as last four in. But that was because I thought about maybe losing one of the guards, and I was like, which one of those would I keep? But since I kept both, I put them both in there. So, but I was, one of those two was definitely going to make it, but I put those in the last four in because those were when I was, you know, trying to fit a RJ in. Like, I debated getting rid of one of the guards.
Are you ready for my last four in?
Yeah.
Raymond Johnson, Rodarius Williams, Kyle Murphy, just because I haven't seen him, and O'Shane Zimenez.
O'Shane Zimenez. We're going to have an interesting conversation about him in a second. Last four out: Levine Toilolo, RJ McIntosh, clearly, Cale Garrett, and David Sills, man. I hate that David Sills didn't get his shot last year. He got hurt. David Sills, I think, would have made the roster last year, and he got hurt. I almost put Alex Bachman in, but I like David Sills, man, and I don't think there's a place for him unless there's injuries. But I hate that he's out. But I put him in my last four out, and my controversial, who was in the last four out, was Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, free agent signing. I feel like the last four out is, it was a lot harder for me to kind of think, like, because now the last four out exercise, that is a lot harder to come up with those names than it actually was to put together the roster. Because now when we're talking about the guys that are basically left over, like, there were really no big names that we cut, Bobby. Like, I was thinking about O'Shane Zimenez, and that would have been a big name for me. But really, there is no big name that we left out. So here's my last four out. Brett Hagee. I it was kind of back and forth between him and Kyle Murphy. Dante Pettis, you know, that's understandable. Ryan Anderson, I think that's understandable too. Free agent signing, actually does have a decent amount of pro experience. And Mondre Harper. You know, isn't Mondre Harper the guy that likes to get in fights? I feel like he's a good glue guy.
Yeah, and he's been working with the DBs in Tampa and stuff.
So he's my last four out. Bobby, a lot of people are surprised that, you know, I'm sure they're listening and they're screaming in their at their cars. They're screaming at their computer screens. If you're listening on the YouTubes or your phones, they're screaming and they're saying, "Where's Nate Ebner? Where's Devontae Downs?
I actually don't think Devontae Downs is going to make the roster, even though he very well could. So that's the thing. Now, Nate Ebner is not even on the roster right now, technically. But Nate Ebner is going to make the team. Like, he's going to make the team as a special teams player. Who do you think that bumps out? Because I don't think it bumps out someone from the safety spot in Julian Love. Could it be Rodarius? I mean, I could see it being Rodarius. But I think... I don't see any cut this year that would get the reaction that Ryan Connolly got out of me. You know, every year there's cuts that make people mad. But the Ryan Connolly...
What about...
There's very few times where I am, like, just pissed off at what the Giants have done. It's very few. It's few and far between when I am in, like, I am so pissed off at the Giants. Them cutting Janoris Jenkins for no reason. Well, when I say no reason, when they didn't need to cut him, that had me in it. I was pretty pissed when they played Daniel Jones versus Arizona with a sprained ankle and a bad hamstring. And Ryan Connolly was one of them. I don't see there being that this year. Now, what it could be is O'Shane Zimenez. And I don't want O'Shane Zimenez cut, and I think he can be well. But if O'Shane Zimenez comes into camp and doesn't prove himself, then it stinks, but you guys didn't draft, you know, Joe Judge, you didn't draft him. I defer to you on that in a crowded edge room. You know, like it's a crowded edge room. I get it. Now, the Ryan Connolly, it's to me, I still look at it as inexcusable. As a team that freaking started Devontae Downs a ton of games. TJ Brunson made the roster. Guy played two reps. So please spare me the what did Ryan Connolly did in Minnesota. Look what our trash ass team, what our trash ass inside linebackers did with Devontae Downs and TJ Brunson. I don't think there's gonna be any reaction like that for me this year on cut day.
So here is the warning that I am going to give to all of the wonderful Giants fans who listen to our show and who follow what we do. Somebody that we all like is going to be cut to save a roster spot for Nate Ebner and possibly Devontae Downs. It's going to happen.
You know who could stop saying Devontae Downs, okay?
I'm being legitimately serious about this. Somebody is going to be cut that we like to save a roster spot for special teams. Now, it could be Downs, it could be Ebner, it could be Ryan Anderson.
So, a lot, you know, O'Shane Zimenez is actually kind of a popular cut in Giants land right now. You know who it would be that would piss a lot of people off?
Who?
Carter Coughlin.
Yeah.
I could see it being Carter Coughlin. Like, it's a crowded edge room, and say the inside linebacker thing doesn't work out in camp. I could see that happening. I don't want it to happen, but I think that would be the one that would get the most negative reaction. Would Pettis or Ross get that reaction? I mean, Coleman got a pretty negative reaction. And
that's because Corey Coleman was the problem. This is also a little bit of the problem with quote unquote preseason games. Corey Coleman was a stud during those scrimmage games. And he was a stud during the scrimmage games, and he was a stud during practice from what the beat reporters were telling us. So I think that a lot of people got excited based off of that.
Also, he was going to have a very real role on the team in 2019, and then he tore his ACL or whatever it was. Like he was set to have a very real role on that team. You know, they had Cody Core playing wide receiver reps, TJ Jones. Like Corey Coleman would have been a key contributor. You know, it was a battle between him and Cody Latimer, and then Golden Tate got suspended. Corey Coleman would have played a good amount of reps in 2019 if he didn't get injured. And
John Ross would have more of a negative reaction than Dante Pettis. But I do actually think you're right. I think people would be more outraged over Carter Coughlin than O'Shane Zimenez, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about.
Which I have more hope for O'Shane Zimenez than I do Coughlin work. Because I think O'Shane Zimenez can be like a a really good edge player, where Coughlin, I don't think he'll ever be really good. I think he'll be a player who makes plays, but he's never like consistently good. I just think because he has physical limitations with his size, which that's why I love the inside linebacker move. Like, you know, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm thrilled at that. I'm excited to see how he fits in at that role, because that's how he could, you know, turn himself into a Kyle Van Noy or whatever. So he's a guy with a lot of talent. It's how does that talent end up working in the NFL? So, I mean, it's, you know what? We kind of made it seem like it was going to be a little boring. There's a lot of interesting conversations around the cuts.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, once you, and so let me do quick instead of what I want, what predictions would be Nate Ebner in.
Yep.
Who would be the out for that?
I mean, my simple out would be to put Nate Ebner in and then take out Raymond Johnson. And then you have five interior defensive linemen, three regular defensive linemen, two nose tackles.
So mine would be Ebner in, Kyle Murphy out, and Toilolo in, Benjamin out. That would be predictions over what I would want. And then the rest I'm pretty like set on, like that's what I think will actually happen. So I mean, but from what I want, there's only two differences I have is Nate Ebner and Levine Toilolo in, and then Kelvin Benjamin and Kyle Murphy out.
It will be very interesting to see if both Ryan Anderson and Cam Brown and Carter Coughlin make the roster. Where does Carter Coughlin would obviously have to be? He would be labeled on the Giants website as a linebacker, but he would obviously have to be an interior linebacker. And then the other guys are edge guys, but then what happens to the rest of the edge and linebacker rooms?
And we're kind of throwing away Ryan Anderson right now, but the Giants could be like really high on him.
Yeah.
You know, like he's played a decent amount for Washington the past few years. You know, he's an Alabama guy. He is like, if there's anything that Ryan Anderson is he's a versatile player.
No, and Ifedi's changing. Ifedi Odenegbo, he's changing. He's kind of changing. Ifedi's a guarantee. I say kind of. He's a guarantee.
Ifedi is. I will guarantee.
I hope so.
Makes this roster.
I hope so.
I think they have high hopes for Ifedi. Like I could see, we walk first play week one. Ifedi Odenegbo's out there. Like in fact, I'm predicting that.
Oh, put it on the table. Say it with the chest.
So I'm predicting that Ifedi Odenegbo will be playing the Odenebo. So someone told me I've been saying it right. Odenegbo. It's Odenebo.
So what is it? Is the G silent?
Yeah, Odenebo. We'll see. All right. Do you have anything else?
No. I hope my one time of prefacing saying prepare yourselves, and we have a whole June and July left. So
and I'm August essentially.
And August, the caution will come again. But in terms of this initial preference for 53-man roster, this is fun, but also now, you know, getting a little anxious that somebody that we probably really like from this football team is going to be cut to put somebody who we don't like on this football team, mainly a guy for special teams. And it's gonna push our buttons. But in a way, I guess it's a good problem to have because there's depth.
Nate Ebner, I'm mentally prepared for. Devontae Downs, I am not. Devontae Downs making the roster will annoy me. Nate Ebner making the roster is not going to annoy me. Devontae Downs is definitely going to annoy me. All right, that's an episode. We'll be back on Friday. We got 3 days of media access at minicamp, so it's going to be a fun few days on following along with the beat reporters being there at practice. So we'll be here on Friday to recap that. So enjoy it. Enjoy it, because this is really the last like good amount of coverage you get until training camp. So we'll see you on Friday. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.